So, Alistair, first of all then, just tell us about your book then. What can we expect?
Well, I've written a book called Winners and How They Succeed. It looks at really successful people in sport, business and politics and tries to draw general lessons for all of us.
Talk us about your kind of process of writing it and that kind of thing.
Funny enough, I started writing it up in near Fort William.
That's where I'm from.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it was at, do you know Ardgar?
Yeah.
Obviously you know Ardgar. We spend Christmases up there. And so Christmas Day 2 years ago, my son and I sat down and we just planned it out. And I started off really going through the things that I think are important to winning. Strategy, leadership, teamship, data, innovation, boldness, resilience, crisis management, all these different things. And then I just went out and I started to interview people from various walks of life. I was unbelievably lucky in terms of who agreed to see me. Very few said no. So, you know, in business, people like Richard Branson and Justin King from Sainsbury's and John Brown, ex of BP. And then in sport, Jose Mourinho, Alex Ferguson, Dave Brailsford from cycling, Clive Woodward from rugby, Nick Faldo. I really struck lucky. The one guy I really was not at the top of my list, but he was close to it, that I really, really wanted to get because he's never lost, was Floyd Mayweather. And absolute stroke of luck. I was in New York interviewing Anna Wintour, the editor of American Vogue, and I thought, to pay my way, I'll find myself a speaking gig. And I spoke at this event, social media and sport. And I just talked about my experience in social media and blah, blah, blah. There's a woman in the Q&A asked me this really interesting question. So I went up to talk to her afterwards. And she introduced herself and we got chatting. And 5 minutes in, I asked her what she did. And she said, oh, I'm Floyd Mayweather's PR. And I got it. So that's how I got an interview with Floyd Mayweather. So I was incredibly lucky.
Is there much chat about, you know, your time with Tony Blair? You know, what's in...
Well, I've written a lot about winning campaigns. And so I've looked very, very closely at the Obama campaign 2008, in particular their use of innovation and data. The most brilliant recent campaign, no, not in the referendum debate, the most brilliant recent campaign was Narendra Modi, the new Indian Prime Minister. Absolutely extraordinary campaign in terms of innovation, in terms of reach, in terms of message. And so I've written about that. And yes, I've written in the strategy section in particular about New Labour and how we won 3 elections. And I've also written in the teamship section about, I guess you could say, how ultimately we fell apart. I think that one of the reasons that I'm obsessed with sport and with great teams in sport is because nobody ever achieves anything without a great team. You look at these individual sportsmen. I've done a profile of the Queen, for example, which as a Republican, I surprised myself doing this. But the Queen is the Queen. She's at the pinnacle of the firm, as they call it. But she's got an amazing team. And I spoke to a lot of the team and I've put together this profile about how she recovered from Annus Horribilis and Diana's death and so forth. So I'm really big on teamship, and I really do honestly believe that if we had held together with the discipline and cohesion of a top sports organisation, I think we'd still be there. I don't actually believe that the Tories have got a better agenda for the country. I don't think Cameron is remotely as good a Prime Minister as either Tony Blair or Gordon Brown. We lost because of failure of teamship. We fell out. We fell apart. And I think there's something weird about politics that it does that to people, and I think it's incredibly sad. I'd say I've ended up in this book, probably there's more about sport than politics. There's definitely more sports interviews in it than there are political interviews. And actually, to be absolutely frank, one of the worries I have for the modern world is there are so few politicians around the world that the public look at and really respect. I think Angela Merkel stands out as somebody that people really, really respect and admire for how she does, if you like, the art of politics and diplomacy. Whereas I look at David Cameron, I just see a kind of... I always say about David Cameron, I think he's my successor, not Tony Blair's. I mean, he's the PR guy, he's the media man. And that's pretty much all he's any good at. But if you're just the media man without the big strategy... So I look at him doing his, you know, the big society. Was that real? Of course it wasn't. The greenest government ever. The way that he responded to the morning after the referendum was just the worst tactical aberration of somebody who's devoid of a strategic bone in his body. And the consequences are with us now. I can feel them when I'm in Scotland, that people actually think, well, hold on a minute. What he should have done was come out and say, look, that was too close for comfort. We almost lost the union, and we've got to listen to those 45% of people who are saying what they're saying. Instead of which, he came out and did a totally tactical, micro-political, all about trying to cause a bit of trouble for Labour in England. Pathetic.
What do you make of the situation with Labour in Scotland at the moment? Because a situation is the correct way to describe it, isn't it?
I mean, you couldn't... I talk about data. Data is very, very important in business, it's important in sport, and it's important in politics. Now, opinion polls are only ever a snapshot, okay? But you couldn't look at the opinion polls as they are in Scotland from a Labour perspective and not inevitably be worried about that. Now, I actually think that Jim Murphy's the right guy for leading the Labour Party. I think he's a good guy. I think he's got good ideas. But there's no doubt in my mind. You know, I come here a lot, and you can feel it, that there's been a change. And it's the job, I think, of the leadership of the what I call the main UK parties to understand that. And, if you like, to adapt to that. And that's why I'm so angry about the way that Cameron handled himself in the immediate aftermath of the referendum. And he actually, in doing what he did and in conducting himself as he's done since, he's actually, I think he's made the what should have been like a settled debate, no one, pretty comprehended, pretty clearly, instead of which he kind of unravelled it. And it's like, so now you feel, I do feel that people are quite angry and anxious about the future in lots of different ways. And added to which, I mean, I don't, you know, I'm obviously tribally Labour, but I think I say in the book, and I certainly said in a GQ interview recently, that you can't say that Alex Salmond didn't have a sense of strategy. You can't say that the SNP aren't a disciplined organisation. You can't say that Nicola Sturgeon hasn't stepped in and you know, she's pretty popular. And you don't get popular in politics unless people have a sense of who you are and what you're trying to do. So I just think that I think the Labour Party is obviously it's got a fight on, there's no doubt about that. But I do hope that the people in Scotland at least do understand. I mean, I don't like this idea of people saying, you know, and the Tories did that ridiculous thing yesterday of Alex Salmond with Ed Miliband in his pocket. And they're obviously trying to get into people's minds, this idea that, you know, there's going to be a Labour-SNP coalition. But I think at this stage in an election cycle, you've got to go all out to win. And so I think Labour's going to be very, very careful not to just be talking about the process of what happens after. You've got to win. And so it's going to be tricky.
Do you think Ed Miliband has a positive effect on the campaign in Scotland?
Well, I mean, again, you look at the data. I was on the Scotland 2015 programme on the BBC last night, and Sarah Smith read me out the latest polling on Cameron and Miliband and the other leaders. And you'd be hard-pressed to think that was a great position to be in. But the reality is, he is one of only two people who could be Prime Minister of the UK after May the 7th. There's only him or Cameron. Everybody accepts that. Clegg can't be Prime Minister. Nicola Sturgeon can't be Prime Minister. The Greens, Farage. So that ultimately is the choice. And I hope people do. I was going on to say earlier that, you know, I think this idea of the Tories saying, you know, vote SNP, get Labour, or Labour saying vote SNP, get the Tories, however this is going to pan out, people should be able to make their own judgment. But the reality is, this isn't the referendum. This isn't the referendum mark two. This is the general election. This is about choosing your government for the UK, which still is of huge importance to people in Scotland. And I absolutely live in dread of the idea of May the 8th and David Cameron's back. I think he's been a terrible Prime Minister. I think he's a terrible government. I would definitely be spending a lot more time up here if they get back. And that is absolutely certain, because I'm tribally Labour. I think that Tony's government was good. I think the country was a better country then. And I dread them getting back. And what they're planning on public spending cuts is just, it's mind-blowing. I mean, they're doing something that is beyond anything that I can think any government in the world has ever done. They're saying even if they get the deficit sorted, they're going to carry on making public spending cuts. as a share of GDP year on year on year on year. Absolutely terrifying. So I do hope people understand that, I think this is one of the most important elections we've had for a long, long time. It's obviously going to be close, and it's obviously going to be, difficult for all the parties. Very, very hard to see for all the parties that there aren't really difficult questions that are going to emerge from this. But I obviously hope for a Labour majority.
Do you believe that, Jim Murphy is the right man to lead the team in Scotland? Because the opinion polls, I know we keep talking about polls, but, polls suggest that he's probably not the most favourable at the moment.
Look, I think Jim is the right guy because I think he's got ideas and I think he's got energy. And I think that's really, really important. And he took the job on, went up and put his head above the parapet and went for it, knowing that he's in a real fight. And he's up a very well organised, very well funded campaign machine, which, even though the loss did pretty well in the referendum campaign. I mean, to get it from where it was 2 years out to where it was at the end, they know how to campaign. But I do think Jim's the right guy. But everybody else in the Labour Party has to understand campaigns are a team game. It's not just about the leaders. It's about everybody understanding you're in a fight and, get out and engage in it.
I know we're casting our mind back a couple of months here, but what did you make of the whole Joanne Lamont thing when she really launched that stinging attack on Westminster, on your party, Westminster?
Well, I could see why she was angry, but the reality is that the Labour Party was in the doldrums, and to some extent still is. But I do think Jim has given real energy and dynamism. You're right that it's not impacting hugely on the polls, but that can come. And I do think as we get to a general election, UK, remember, this is about this is not yes no for independence. This is the UK government, and who that government is. I mean, you just cannot. The idea of a Conservative government. I mean, Labour is a progressive party. The SNP puts itself forward as a progressive party. We're at real risk, unless we're very, very careful, of ending up with possibly the least progressive government that we've had in my lifetime. Worse than Thatcher. I really do believe that, because I think Cameron stands for nothing, but Osborne actually does stand for something. And he stands for bringing down public spending year on year on year on year, cutting everything to the bone. This is the party that's now shredding defence spending. Now, I know there are people up here who think, get rid of Trident and all the rest of it. You've got Putin on the doorstep of Scandinavia. I was in Sweden the other day. I was talking to some Swedish businessmen the other day. And they said, I hope people in England and Scotland understand how important this election is for us. I said, what do you mean? He said, do you know our nightmare scenario? He said, Labour-SNP deal, and the deal is Trident, and we've got Putin on our doorstep. I hadn't even thought of that. So, these are big things at stake, and I just think we've got to get the Tories out, and the way to get the Tories out is to get a Labour government in Westminster.
Do you think that the voters in Scotland have kind of lost trust in Labour, over the years, and now it's just kind of come to a head, with Iraq, with X, Y and Z?
Look, there's no doubt that we are not in the position that we were when I was working with Tony Blair. I always thought it was a myth. The Scottish media always used to say Tony Blair is less popular in Scotland than the rest of the country. I thought that was a myth. I think we used to have the data on that Tony was actually very popular in Scotland for most of the time that he was there. Iraq was clearly a huge problem for a lot of people. But there is no doubt in my mind that a combination of the SNP really having a sense of their own objective and their own strategy, which is actually what my book's about to a large extent, is how do you pursue a strategy in the pursuit of a clear objective. So they were very, very strategic and disciplined. And I think there's no doubt at all that parts of the Labour Party took parts of Scotland for granted. And you pay a price for that. You pay a price.
Surely not a good thing, though, for the public to see that, to give one example, with one of the Labour candidates in Dundee refused a donation from Tony Blair. That can't be good for, the public seeing that.
No, it's not. But to be absolutely frank, I think it's stupid. I think it's crass and I think it's stupid. And there's several things I'd say. If you're a Labour candidate and you're going to make an issue of party funding, maybe have a look at Brian Suter and the SNP, or maybe have a look at the hedge fund guys and the tax avoiders that are funding the Tory party. Tony Blair was Labour's most successful leader ever. We won seats, including here in Scotland, because of Tony Blair. So, to be absolutely frank, when I heard that, I thought attention-seeking takes many forms.
How many seats do you think Labour will hold then after the general election in Scotland?
How many seats Labour hold and how many seats the SNP hold depends absolutely on the nature of the campaign between now and the election. Even when, in 97, even when we were 30 points ahead in the polls, I never, ever, ever said we will win. And I don't think politicians should ever say we will win. In fact, to be honest, I think one of the mistakes that Alex Salmond made in the referendum campaign was constantly say we will win. I think politicians should always say we can win, provided we win the support of the people to back us on this and this and this and this and this. So it's about the next few weeks. And I do think that one of the lessons of the referendum campaign, and I so hope that somehow the public right across the UK can recapture that sense of this mattering, because I think this is a really important election. All elections are important, of course they are, but I think the divide now between the possibility of a Labour government that really cares about the poor, that really understands the growing inequality in Britain today, that really is committed to the health service and to schools and to investing in crime, in the fight against crime and defence, all these things that are being shredded by the Tories, rather than have this sort of ideological right-wing government that is, you know, becoming identified as the party of food banks and poverty and no clear foreign policy and Cameron a coward on TV debates. I mean, they're pathetic. They're absolutely pathetic. And they're totally beatable. They're totally beatable, provided every single member of the Labour Party gets my book, reads it, and understands in there are the lessons from sport, business and politics of winning mindsets. And at the moment, what is needed most of all is a winning mindset.